Hey team, it's Caitlin. I'm back again with another trigger warning for episode 16 of season 4. There is a lot of discussion about crazy stalkers and assaults and some pretty heavy violence. So if any of that is uncomfortable for you, I would maybe skip this week and we'll see you next week.
On Wednesdays, we watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
I do.
And Caitlin.
Hi.
And today, we are talking about season 4, episode 16 of One Tree Hill, titled You Call It Madness, I Call It Love, which, fun fact, is a song by Nat King Cole.
The title Wild choice. Is at least appropriate.
I mean, yeah. I think they picked it for the title more than anything else, yes.
Right, because it's like no other song they've chosen for anything, yes. But yeah.
Anyway, okay, so we open on Lucas knocking on Peyton's door, you know, because remember from last episode, he said he was going to knock on her door, and if she answered, that means she was going to go to prom with him. If not, she was going to stay home, and he was going to go to prom by himself, poor boy. She obviously doesn't answer, because we see on just the other side of the door, Derek is got a hold of Peyton, covering her mouth so she can't yell, scream, or anything, and he keeps telling her to shush.
Ugh.
So Lucas goes to leave. And Derek tells Peyton he can't believe that Lucas left and he would never give up on her as easily as Lucas just did because their love is forever. And then drugs her.
Yeah, he had that hypodermic needle just like ready
for
it.
Oh, he was
it.
Planned and ready to go.
Yeah, he had.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's
it's not like he hadn't
this
had
since they pushed him out a window.
I was about to say, it's not like he's had weeks worth of planning here. Yeah. Yes.
I will say I took 5 notes this episode because I was too busy pacing. So
that's fair.
That's fair. That's very fair. That's very fair. Then we go to Nathan and Haley who are driving to prom because remember it's prom night. Yay.
Yay.
And they're talking about how, you know, she got her boot off and how everything's just going to be perfect tonight. Right as their car breaks down.
Uh-huh.
So then at prom, Dan and Karen show up and Whitey immediately compliments on how good Karen looks and she thanks him and goes to check on something. And Whitey immediately asks Dan, what the hell are you doing with Karen?
Whitey is all of us.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yes. And he says,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I will say, so reading the episode description this week was like, blah, blah, blah. Lucas finds out who witnessed Keith's murder or whatever. And, you know, and Peyton regrets not going to prom or whatever. Just some kind of like stupid, fluffy Hulu description. So before it even started, Ben's like, who do you think saw Dan kill Keith? And I'm like, I guess Glenda. I'm not going to lie. Right? Glenda is her name? Goth girl?
Yes,
I did guess Glenda, but I did want to get that in there. That was also like very present in both of our minds while we were trying to make it through all the other shit that happened in this episode.
There we go. Yeah. So, well, Whitey is after Dan. He basically says that he won't allow history to repeat itself and he's going to be watching Dan tonight.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. So then
chaperone
Nathan,
for the chaperones.
Yes. So then Nathan tries to assess what's wrong with the car, but he's not Lucas, so he has no clue. And Haley's like, okay, are you done? Can I call Lucas now? And he's like, yeah, sure, call Lucas. And she has no signal, of course, because remember, phones used to not have signal sometimes.
Because this episode is every horror movie trope.
We'll get to that. And Nathan's like, fine, there's a gas station up the road here, and I'll go ahead and call for help for someone to come pick us up. He's like, you wait here. And Haley's like, no, I'm not going to wait here because I'm not going to be turned into an urban legend. You know, the pregnant girl in her prom just in a broken down car. No, I'm good. Thanks. I'm going with you. He's worried about her leg, but she's like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be a good test run for things.
Yeah.
Sure, Hales. Sure. Yes. Then we go back to Rachel, who is still looking at the picture that Mouth sent to her of him and Brooke at prom as they call for her plane to board again. We then go to Peyton's basement. New setting. We've never been down here before, kids. And we see that Derek has tied her to the to a chair and gagged her. And he apologizes for the sedative, but there were so many last minute details he needed to handle for tonight. And he creepily says he missed her.
Listen, I don't know if now is the right time, but there was a place about 2/3 of the way through this episode where I'm like, if they would have chosen different music to score this episode, it would have been a comedy. There are so many moments through this where Derek is just
completely manic to the point of it being funny instead of creepy.
Hilariously manic and delusional, right? Yeah. Like, obviously not a well man, not a good man, but like some of his line reads are, if there was like some Benny Hill playing behind it, full comedy.
And I think I know exactly what you're talking about, and we'll get there. Yeah.
There are two other ones. This was the first one where he's like, I'm just so sorry about the sedative. It's just, you know, there are two other lines that we'll get to.
Yes. And he then explains to her about, you know, why he's there and, you know, why is he not, you know, in jail or anything. And we find out that it was actually him who called Peyton and told her that he was caught by the police and he faked his voice to lower her guard. And he says he's had time to think about what went wrong with them the last time. And he's decided he knows what it is. It's that she needs romance in her life. And he tells her that they're going to have their very own special private prom full of romance.
Nothing says romance like punching a woman in the face and then giving her a sedative.
Drugging her, tying her to a chair and gagging her.
Peak romance.
Without her consent.
Without her consent.
Yes. With consent. Now, who knows? Who
cares? I was going to say, but if that's what you're into and you're consenting, then by all means.
Yes.
You do you.
Yes.
But
this was without consent.
This was without her consent. Yes. And therefore, it's gross.
Yes. Then we go to Brooke, who is at prom, and she finds Lucas, and he first apologizes for the dress because word's gotten around now that Brooke has whore written across her dress. And Brooke says it's fine since, you know, she got most of it off in the bathroom and now it just says ho. So she's fine with
good.
That. And she asks where Peyton is, and Lucas explains that he went to go pick her up, but she didn't come out of her house, so she's not coming. And he gets up and leaves, and Brooke looks very confused, and she looks down at her dress, and you can kind of tell that she's thinking about, well, why would Peyton not be here to relish in this prank that she did on Brooke? Get back at her. So Brooke immediately goes to Mouth and says she needs to leave for a while. And Mouth is like, cool, where are we going? And she's like, I need to go by myself. And so he gives her his car keys. And she says she'll be back before they crown her coronation for prom queen. And he's like, but aren't they still, you know, counting votes and are people still voting? And she says, yeah, but that's a formality.
Ever confident.
Yes. Oh, yes. I think that's the one thing Brooke can be very confident in is the fact that she's going to be prom queen. Yes. So then we go back to Peyton's, and Derek has set up his camera to take some photos of them at their prom. And he tells her the worst part about what happened the last time was the fact that he lost all of his photos of her. And he starts to take pictures and he takes the gag off, and Peyton screams bloody murder as the photos are taken.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was quite the photo.
It was
quite the photo. Then we go back to Nathan and Haley and Deb, because Nathan called Deb. And so she picked them up, and Deb is taking Nathan and Haley to prom. And Deb is just very happy that she can at least take them to prom, because a month ago she couldn't have. So yay, sober Deb.
Yay.
And Nathan's a little embarrassed about the fact that, you know, his mom is taking them to prom and everything, but they kind of turn it around and kind of say, well, let's just be kids then for tonight. Let's just embrace the fact that we're actually teenagers and we don't have to be married and pregnant tonight. Great. Great.
Cool. Great.
So then they start joking about curfews and it's adorable. Oh, well, Deb is just smiling deliriously in the front because she's so happy she can take her boy to prom.
Which, like, I think
it's just so sweet. She's driving them to prom.
I love it.
Not just because she's sober, but because, I mean, like they said, it's the most high school they've been able to act in a year and a half.
Yeah. So then...
have we already blazed past the fact that they just use the regular opening credits like this was a normal ass episode?
That already happened. That's normal episode. It's fine.
No, normal episode. Everything's great. Like, if any episode needed a black title card, this one could have used it.
I mean, in fairness, the only time they ever use the black title card is if they need that extra minute and a half for content.
Well, so, they've used it in, like, very serious episodes.
It's when they've needed the content.
Yeah.
Because this is also, One Tree Hill actually airs through the entire tenure of when, like, we had opening themes to every single show, and then that went away because they wanted that extra, like, you know, 90 seconds of content.
Right.
So we will eventually not have Gavin DeGraw anymore.
No.
And it will just be the black title screen. So,
man,
I'm just letting you know now so you can be prepared for whenever it actually happens.
The cat's going to be so upset that he doesn't get serenaded by me every time. When I tell you this cat could be dead asleep, just fully nothing wakes him up at all. And the opening strains of I Don't Want to Be starts. He's like, no, just
sing to him anyway.
Yeah, just sing it to him anyway. Just turn it on and just sing. Exactly. It's fine.
It's so funny how triggered this cat is by just the opening notes
three piano chords.
Yeah. Da, no. Da, da. It's coming. No.
Oh, love it. So, yes, back to the show. Peyton tries to text someone on her phone that somehow she has. I don't know where she had that stashed, how that happened in her prom dress, but she did.
It's good a razor. It's very skinny. It's very skinny.
That's very true. But as she tries to flip it open to start texting somebody or, you know, do something, it rings. Lucas is the one calling her, and it very much upsets Derek as he grabs it out of her hands. And so then we go to the prom where Lucas is leaving her the voicemail saying that she's the one he wants to be with, whether it's at prom or not. So Lucas is kind of a sad boy. Then we get Rachel, who didn't get on her flight and shows up at prom to crash until Turner bars her from coming in, even threatening to call the cops on her. And so she announces in front of everyone at the front doors of the school that she has a limo and a fully stocked minibar who's coming with her. And everyone blankly stares at her until Mouth decides he's going to leave with her.
The everyone who blankly stares at her are the two chaperones and the principal of the school. Uh-huh. So, like, she really didn't pick her audience
She really didn't. No. She should have picked the guy who shows up a little bit later. He would have been all down for the mini bar. Yeah.
Tim 2.0.
Pretty much. Yeah. But no, Mouth is the one who says he'll go with her. And she's like, what about Brooke? And he's like, she'd do the same thing if she was here. That's what friends do. And so they leave. Great. And they start to leave, but not before Rachel tells Turner that she'll be hearing from her lawyers about the sexual harassment. And the students start giving him some very weird looks, and Turner awkwardly denies it all. But Dan says, Turner, relax, go have a drink. In fact, go have a drink from this. It's a flask that I took from one of the students, which Turner is mortified at. But as Dan took the flask out of his pocket, a note drops out that was in his pocket. And he opens it and it says, does your date know you murdered her fiance?
Bum, bum, bah!
Uh-huh. And Dan is shooketh.
It's not written in red, though. That's the only thing.
No.
So we're going to talk more about this later, but I'm really, really, like, proud of how committed this person is to tormenting Dan.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So then back at Peyton's, Derek is telling her it's time for their first dance. And he unties her from the chair and he starts dancing with her to this very creepy song that he mixed using audio from her podcast. And he tells her that tonight is very special. And then he couldn't bear the thought of her going to prom with Lucas and then them being together and sleeping together after prom. So instead, he and her are going to enjoy their own private prom, and then they're going to go upstairs together.
Ugh.
I think this is probably like peak creepiness of it, is just that song with her speaking, but it's all like,
yeah, cut up
and it repeats and it's weird and it keeps saying Derek. It's just, it's very dark and creepy. This is probably the darkest it gets for me.
Yeah.
Because the other part of it gets a little too manic. Like Jesse said, it turns into like almost a dark Benny Hill sketch at the end. But this with the song is what's making it very, very creepy.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I'm trying to remember what words he cut out to make this song. It was like, it was
it's just a lot of like, says Derek and love and dying and like, it's all very weird. Like,
yeah,
those are the words that stuck out to me most, were like death, dying, love.
There was like
Derek, my brother, Derek.
Yeah, like your fault or something. There were like two words that kept repeating over and over again that were like super creepy and gaslighty. Yeah, not great, not great. Do not like it. Zero stars.
Yeah. So then we're still at, it goes to commercial. So when it comes back, Derek is still dancing with Peyton to the creepy ass song. And he keeps getting texts on Peyton's phone from Lucas. And so he reads out some of the texts about saying how Lucas misses her and that, you know, he'll just come over, whatever, or something. So he decides to send Lucas a text as Peyton saying that she's running late and he should wait for her. After then he sends a couple XOXOs because he's Gossip Girl, really, and then debates sending an emoticon and decides, oh, what the hell? We'll send a winky face.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was that line. And it was also when he first took her phone and was like, Lucas?
Yeah.
Like that line read was like, OK, Derek, like what show are you in right now?
Yeah. Yeah. So he sent the text and then smashes Peyton's phone on the ground. And so at prom, Lucas smiles as he reads the text from Peyton / actually Derek. And Glenda comes up to see him. I'm very happy we get to see more of Glenda in her goth prom attire. I love it.
I love her outfit.
Yep.
The black prom. It looks so good. Yes.
Best really quick, though, what I was going to say is gotta love Lucas, assuming the text message was actually from Peyton. Because do we think Peyton uses emojis?
Doubtful.
Okay, because that was what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And, like, that would have been my first clue, was, like, emoticon? I think
the boy's just very excited that his girlfriend actually is coming to prom. You
know? I know.
I think that's
right. I know, it was just funny.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But anyway, but yes. Glenda's here.
Glenda, best dressed at the prom? I think so.
Yes. I really liked Mouth's white tuxedo.
He looked great as well. Mouth and Glenda for Mouth best dressed fantastic. At the prom. That's what I'm saying right now. Mouth and Glenda are my prom king and queen, as far as I'm concerned. Sorry,
perfect.
Brooke.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brooke. But yes, she starts to tease Lucas about not being the only person alone at prom. And he tells her that Peyton is on the way. But until then, he would love for her to keep him company. And she smiles and agrees to his proposition, and she tells him that's a good thing because then she can still pretend that she's above all of this prom stuff. They're great together. I love those two and their little friendship they have. It's adorable.
Yeah, and I think I don't know. I think he and Glenda like bonding so quickly kind of reminds us that he used to be kind of like an outcast, kind of
absolutely
on the fringe of popular society in Tree Hill, right?
100%.
And I think that kind of reminds, at least me, it reminds me of that.
No, it definitely does. I mean, in another universe, like, Glenda would have been brought into the squad and would have been best friends with Haley.
Yeah. In another universe, it would have been like Lucas and Haley going to prom together as friends, while Mouth, Skills, Junk, and Fergie went stag, and Glenda tagged along as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my headcanon, that if things had happened very differently. So then we go to Nathan and Haley. They finally get to prom And Nathan is very excited because they have a ride home now because no one is using the DW Not I car. So they can use that to drive home tonight. So that's great.
Yeah, no, and no one will need it on prom night, Nathan. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. He's too deliriously happy that he's at prom. It's fine. It's fine.
Yes.
Yes. So he immediately asks Haley to dance and she wants to, but she's like, nope, my leg ain't having it. Sorry, can't dance. And he's like, okay, okay, fine. I'll get you some punch. But he gets her some punch, but instead of it being punch, it is very much a booze fest of punch. And the guy who spiked it is very proud of himself and brags about it to Nathan until Nathan grabs him by the collar and says, my wife is pregnant, you moron. And the dude who, as Jesse said before, and it's very accurate, he's like Tim 2.0, pretty much. He just replies, dude, it's prom.
This whole interaction was just so good.
It was a lot.
And it stops Nathan in his tracks, and he realizes he's being a little much here and lets him go. And then Haley makes it even better by just looking up at him and going, dude, it's prom. It's great.
Because I can give you a list of things that guy does not give a shit about tonight, and it begins and ends with your wife being pregnant.
Exactly. Exactly.
God. Yeah, Nathan.
Yeah. He's trying. A little too hard, but he's trying.
He's trying so hard. Uh-huh. And God love Haley for being like so chill.
Pregnant hormonal Haley is so chill now.
Yeah, it's a
well,
lot
she's
of...
sitting down.
Right.
Yes. So then Lucas and Glenda are hanging out and they're people watching as Glenda makes fun of a very pretty couple where she assumes that the guy has a hotel key in his back pocket and a really cheap champagne chilling in the mini fridge at said hotel room. And he asks her, do you do this often? And she says, oh, yeah, it's a really fun pastime when you're on the outside. And she tells him it's his turn. So then he turns his attention to Dan and Karen and says that she is wondering whether to forgive him for the way he treated her before. And Glenda catches on and she's like, that's your mom, right? And he's like, yeah, and my dad.
Gross.
Uh-huh.
I hate all of it.
Yep.
Uh-huh. 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 Then we go to Brooke, who took Mouth's car to go see Peyton. And she knocks on the front door and gets no answer. So, of course, Brooke being Brooke and knowing Peyton's house, goes around to the back door and gets the spare key from under the pot in the back porch and enters the house. And we see the camera pan down from there and we see Derek looking from the basement window. So Derek knows that Brooke is there. And Brooke starts hollering for Peyton as she walks around the house and she can't find her upstairs or anywhere, but her curling iron's on. So she knows she's there and she sees the basement doors open and she comments on the fact that she hates Peyton's creepy ass basement, but she'll come down there to find her if she has to. So Brooke starts to go downstairs and we see Derek hiding under the stairs for her. And Brooke turns and finds Peyton tied up. She immediately goes to untie Peyton, but Peyton screams, run! As Brooke turns around and Derek grabs Brooke and starts to choke her.
Yeah, see, this is the peak, like, full creepy horror.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I take it back. The song was creepy and that whole thing was creepy. This is, like, horror movie scary stuff.
Yeah, Derek... Yeah.
The shot under of him the behind stairs? The stairs when she's coming down the stairs, didn't love that. No, didn't no, love no, no, it 15 no, no. years ago, didn't love it 3 days ago.
No.
We don't like a jump scare here on Wednesdays. We watch Wednesday Hill. No jump scares.
We're no good. Jump scares, please.
So then we go to Mouth and Rachel, who are talking in the limo. And she lies to him about her plane just being delayed. So they've got a little bit of time. And Mouth says he's all right skipping prom because he doesn't have Shelly as his date. And he starts talking about Shelly to the point where Rachel deduces that Mouth actually lost his virginity to Shelly a couple days ago. And Rachel flirts with him some more And he asks her what she wants to do with her last night in Tree Hill. And she says, well, she wanted to deflower him, but Shelley beat her to it.
Rachel, listen, you can't make that those jokes to mouth. He is delicate and
sensitive.
We'll believe you.
And he continues to talk about Shelley, even though she just said that to him. And Rachel tells him, mouth, shut up. He's like, I know I'm being annoying. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She's like, no, you're making me jealous.
Yep.
I love these two. I think they're adorable. It's so silly and stupid. It just is. It's just silly and stupid. So then we go back to school, and Lucas and Glenda are, they've kind of left the gym where the prom is, and they're walking down the hall, and Lucas reveals to her that he hasn't finished his book yet because he's stuck on the day that Keith died. And he says a part of him must have blocked it out because he can't remember some things that happened that day. And Glenda encourages him and says, hey, then let's talk through it, and I will help you remember by being your soundboard so you can talk to me about it. We love a supportive friend. Then Derek ties up Brooke, and the two girls begin to scream bloody murder. But Derek just turns up the music and says, Peyton, you shouldn't play your music so loud.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, God.
Yes. Then we go to Dan, who then gets a text message from somebody saying, still watching you. And he looks up and sees that Whitey is walking away from the gym, and he assumes that it's Whitey. Yeah. Then we go to Nathan and Haley, and they comment about how weird it is at prom because nobody's there. No Lucas, no Brooke, no Peyton, no Mouth. And then Nathan goes, no Rachel. And Haley's like, this is a nice prom.
Haley's commitment to being on the fuck Rachel train is like,
she is the conductor of that train, and she will ride that thing out until it runs out of track.
Absolutely. Yes. I love it. Yes.
Yes. One thing that I love about Haley is that even though objectively she is better than all of us, mm-hmm. In terms of how good of a human it is, she is, that girl can hold a grudge.
Oh, oh yeah. Better than anybody else.
Oh, like, ooh, she'll yeah. forgive you. Like, logically, yes, she knows forgiveness is the way. But will she hold that grudge until she dies? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So then Turner shows up and tells Nathan that he needs to take a student home since he is in possession of the DW Not I car tonight. And
who could have seen that coming?
Who could have? Who could have? And also, who could have seen who actually needs the ride home, but it's none other than the Tim 2.0 moron who spiked the punch earlier.
Weird.
As he's passed out over.
It's prom.
Dude,
it is prom.
It's
prom. And he drank real fast if he's already passed out.
Right. Yep. Dude, he probably pre-gamed. He was the one with the flask. He came to prom with one thing in mind, to get completely shwasted.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and to get Nathan's pregnant wife wasted. That was the only goal tonight.
Dear God. Yes. So then we go back to Brooke and Peyton, and Peyton asks Brooke why she came. And Brooke explains that they've been talking about senior prom since they were 8 years old. She knew she wouldn't miss this for the world. She knew something was wrong if Peyton wasn't there. And Peyton asks, good, so you told somebody where you were going? And Brooke's like, no, I didn't. And it devolves into them arguing and calling each other names and insulting each other. And Peyton says, I hope he kills you first. And Derek shows up and says, that's not a bad idea.
Oh.
God. Guess what? He has a knife.
Yes. Cool. He has a big old knife.
I know I said this last week, but let's keep selling the stalker man weapons. Just yes. Please.
It's fine.
Whatever.
And he explains to both of them that he was watching all day today and saw both of their fights they had. And so he wants to kill Brooke to prove his love to Peyton.
Very stable. Very cool. Excellent.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
When I'm looking for a partner.
Yeah.
I want them to prove their love to me by murdering someone I hate.
Mm-hmm. Especially if that someone has been my best friend my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So he goes around back and puts the knife to Brooke's throat, and Peyton immediately thinking very smartly, get it, girl, because you knew exactly this is what she was doing. She stops him and tells him that she wants to kill her, and that if he really loves her, he's gonna, you know, let her be the one to do it. And she starts to flirt with him and say that she's really been denying her feelings this whole time, but she really does care for him and she understands where he's coming from. And, you know, she does love him. And he's not really convinced until she keeps saying that she loves him. And it sort of convinces him enough that he unties her from the chair. And she gets up and she slaps Brooke across the face first. And he says, hit her again. To the point where then Peyton punches her square in the face. And Peyton asks for the knife from Derek. And Derek says he doesn't know if he can trust her. And Peyton, I love this so much. She's like, trust? Wait a minute here. Weren't you the one who lied to me first about being my brother? If you'd just been honest and all you had to do was just ask and I would have been yours. Which is exactly what he wants to hear. So he gives her the knife. And he starts to give her pointers about how to stab Brooke. Until Peyton makes a joke about Brooke being a backstabbing bitch. And then turns around and stabs Derek in the chest.
To which he says, that's disappointing. Again,
yep.
Different score, different feeling entirely to that line read.
He also doesn't he also say that wasn't very nice, Peyton?
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
That's my favorite. That wasn't very nice, Peyton.
There is a knife sticking out of his shoulder and he goes, that's disappointing. What? What is this TV show?
Can we also talk about for a second, though, there's a point during Peyton's monologue where when she's trying to get Derek to untie her and believe all this stuff, where they do something with the music and with the editing as Peyton flips. And it's so good. Like, it's so well edited. It's just like the, like, from a Hillary Burton standpoint, it's so well acted because you can visibly see the flip. Oh, it was so good.
You can see the wheels turning. You can see the panic in her face turn into this, okay, I have to act. I have to do this.
I have to act like a crazy fucking bitch.
Yep. To save my best friend.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
There are also a couple of shots of her, like, in her bloody white prom dress, like, snuggling up to Derek and looking at Brooke, that were full, like, natural born killers, like, very.
Well, and I even forgot to mention, she kisses him. When, because all he had to do was ask to convince him to give her the knife, which is like A plus to Peyton for doing that, because that,
yuck.
She did what she had to do.
She did. Self-preservation kicked in and she's like, I gotta bite this motherfucker's lip. Here we go.
Yeah. So as he's down, because he hasn't gotten up and said that's how disappointing or anything yet. He's still like wriggling in pain. Peyton immediately goes to untie Brooke and she apologizes to Brooke for hitting her. And Brooke's like, you didn't have to hit me so hard. And she doesn't get to finish untying Brooke until Derek kind of stirs and he's like, how disappointing. And he rips the knife out of his own chest and says I think he's going to kill her now. And Brooke tells her to run. So Peyton leaves her and runs upstairs as Derek chases after, saying that wasn't very nice, Peyton.
And obviously, he also goes,
yeah, Peyton, run.
And obviously, Peyton, being the very intelligent woman that she is, leaves the house, right? She doesn't just cocoon herself in a dead-end upstairs bedroom, right?
No.
Why would anyone do that?
Which, I mean, I think, if you think about it, she didn't want to leave Brooke by herself.
Yeah.
How quickly is she going to get help before he goes back down and then just kills Brooke?
Right.
And not to mention what she did do instead.
Exactly. And is what she's wanted to do since day one. So yeah, exactly. So, before we get to that though, we go back to school And we get Lucas and Glenda, who are now in the school library and talking about when, you know, Lucas and Peyton were there the day of the school shooting and how she was bleeding out and she was dying. And Peyton told him that she loved him. And he admits to Glenda that he knew then that he loved Peyton back, but he was too afraid to admit it since he was with Brooke.
Yeah, so did we.
Yeah, so did everyone else in town, including Brooke. But hey, open your eyes, Lucas.
He's going on a journey here with Glenda. It's fine. We got to go through the steps here. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So then we get our Nathan and Haley, who they drop off the drunk guy, but not before he starts to flirt with Haley about saying that, you know, to Nathan about how cool job sleeping with Brooke. And does that mean you guys have an open marriage? And Nathan kicks him out of the car about a mile away from the dude's house. And they both admit that this night of being, you know, quote unquote, kids at their prom was nothing like what they expected. And Nathan starts to drive away. And Haley says that the school's back the other way. He says, I know, I'm taking you somewhere else. It's a surprise. Great, great, great.
Fine. It's very cute, but this whole episode has me so stressed out.
I know. That's the only crappy part. It's like the Nathan and Haley stuff is so adorable and funny and cute, but it's interspersed with all this dark shit that you can't really appreciate all of what Nathan and Haley are doing in this episode.
Right. They're trying to do some heavy lifting with like three or four funny and cute scenes. Uh-huh. They're trying to do some heavy lifting, getting us out of the full-on stalker horror basement show. Yeah.
Yeah. They're trying to lift us out of the basement. Well, good news, kids. We are out of the basement because Derek
follows... We've been out of the basement. Peyton ran.
Yep. So Derek follows Peyton up the stairs to her room and he finds the door is locked and he starts to beat on it and says, Peyton, let me in. You know, I can bash this down. And so the door unlocks and he walks into her dark bedroom. Peyton then ambushes him with a taser and tases the shit out of him and then punches him a couple times because she did have time to put on her boxing gloves. So she tells him she's not running anymore and to get up. She punches him a few more times and gets a few good hits in until he's down on the ground and she goes to punch him and he grabs her arm and headbutts her onto the bed. Ugh. He starts screaming at her. And starts to tear her dress and climb on top of her. And he asks her if she really thought that she could beat him, just a girl. But then Brooke, who in this whole thing, we see her at one point knock herself over to bust the chair she's sitting on to get herself free. Get it, B. Davis. And Brooke shows up as he says, you know, you could never beat him, you know, how she could beat him, a girl. But Brooke says, how about two girls? And then beats him square in the back with a golf club.
It looked like an axe at first,
I don't know what. I'm pretty sure it was a golf club. I couldn't tell exactly what it was.
See, I thought it was a lamp.
I really wanted it to be an axe and just like Brooke Davis coming in and finishing it all.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, it's a golf club, I'm pretty sure. And it gets him off of her. And then the three, they fight like nobody's business in Peyton's room and into the hallway where one of them, it like gets on top of him and starts like beating on him. And the other one starts to strangle him. He throws the other one off. They go into the hallway and they fight in the hallway some more. And then it ends up when he throws Brooke, she lands right in front of the stairs. And she tells Peyton, eighth grade cheer camp, as she gets on all fours and braces herself. So Peyton kicks Derek, so he trips over Brooke and falls down the stairs.
Yep. Yes.
Which, honestly, genius move.
Genius move, girls. Genius move. Yes. And the girls slowly make their way down the stairs to an unconscious Derek as Peyton says Brooke hated being the bottom of that pyramid. At cheer camp in eighth grade. Well, the entire time Brooke is going, Peyton, be careful. They lunge. They always lunge. And in fact, Derek does lunge at them, but Peyton just squarely kicks him in the face and knocks him out again. And Brooke says she's going to go call the cops. But Peyton says, Brooke, give me 5 minutes. And Brooke's like, okay. And then Peyton begins to beat the shit out of Derek.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Yep.
And the next scene is the police and paramedics are hauling Derek away on a stretcher. And Brooke and Peyton are sitting on Peyton's front porch, you know, in the usual, you know, the blankets that they always give them and all that stuff.
The shock blanket.
The shock blankets. Yeah, sure. And Brooke and Peyton apologize to each other for all the nasty things they said to each other. And Brooke especially about Peyton's moms. And Brooke says, I guess it's now hoes over psychos. And they fist bump and Peyton lays her head on Brooke's shoulder. And you can kind of tell at that moment that their friendship's back. And Brooke asks Peyton where they want to go from here. And Peyton says, I want to go to prom.
Great.
Great.
I will say one thing. This fight was very badass. They kicked his ass, fully won. Good job, ladies. But like the kicking this injured man in the nuts did not come soon enough in this fight to incapacitate him, because like they could have Brooke comes in and goes, why are you punching him in the head? Kick him in the nuts. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But like a swift kick in the nuts, step on his balls when he's down, and then put a couple fingers in the knife wound that are in his shoulder already could have gone a long way in making him stop fighting back. I'm just saying, like, yeah. I understand the full circle moment of Peyton needing to strap her gloves on and beat the fuck out of him. Like, I love that. I get that. But if we learn nothing from Miss Congeniality, like, these ladies needed to sing a little bit, you know?
Yeah, they did.
Yes, they did. I will say, in the heat of the moment of the fight itself, it's a lot of him going after one of them, the other one stopping him from just strangling them or beating the shit out of the other girl. He then turns to the other girl. So then the other girl has to save the other one.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing of that the entire time until they kick him down the stairs.
No, like I said, I understand the fight. I thought it was badass. I loved how they worked together. But also the entire time, I'm like, there is not enough ball kicking or stepping.
She got that in at the end as she just starts kicking him in the stomach and the groin and then punching on his face.
Oh, yeah, five minutes before the police are called.
In my head canon is she got a good lot of licks in before the police came, and she just then stood back and been like, you're done.
Another 90s movie reference, but I contend he kicked himself in the balls.
There we go. Yeah. So then we go to Mouth and Rachel, who are now at the airport, and she admits that she lied to him about her flight being delayed. She just wasn't ready to get on her plane. And she admits that she wanted to have that one last dance with Mouth that they talked about before. And Mouth says, okay, then let's have it. And so he invites her to dance, and they dance in the middle of y'all.
Lots of dance, slow dancing in unconventional places on this prom night.
Yes. So then Dan and Karen are dancing as they remember.
Boo. Boo. Sorry. Continue.
They reminisce about the fact that their prom theme was Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Perfect.
Which is great. Dan reminisces about the fact that this was also their prom night was the night he told Karen that he was leaving on his basketball scholarship and broke up with her.
Yeah, rub that fucking salt in it.
Yeah.
But he then says that he's been lying to himself for the past 17, 18 years, saying that that was the right decision to make. And Karen confesses that she's been lying to herself that that didn't break her heart that day.
I hate it. I hate it. All of it.
It's bad.
Every last fucking bit of it.
Yep. Yeah. Then we go back to Nathan and Haley, and he's taken her to the roof of the cafe, and he goes to pull out the predictions that they made earlier their senior year, which was the beginning of season 3. When they weren't together, if we remember that. And he shows Haley the prediction he wrote down and that said that he and Haley would be back together by graduation.
Cute!
And he tells her that since his prediction came true, Nathan thinks tonight is still a great night given everything. And he asks her to dance one more time, but Haley says she can't with her leg. And he says, that's fine. They just won't use it. And he picks her up and dances with her on the roof of the cafe.
Almost my Twilight moment. I'll accept.
There we go. There we go. Yes.
Approved.
Approved.
It's great. It's great. So then we go back to the airport and they begin boarding for Rachel's flight and Mouth tells her goodbye. And then Rachel says, you should come with me. And he says he can't because, you know, he would miss graduation and finals and everything. And Rachel says, you know, it's not crazy, Mouth. It's just dangerous. Which, if we remember, is Mouth's favorite new word, dangerous, because he then pulls out of his pocket the same sunglasses that he wore when Shelley called him dangerous. And he took his, you know, the school assignment photo and everything. So they're the iconic sunglasses for Mouth. And
the Terminator sunglasses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, with that, Mouth decides he's going to go with Rachel. So he hops on a plane with Rachel.
Okay.
And, oh, yes.
No, that was it.
That was it.
That was it.
She okay. said, okay.
Okay.
Fine.
So then we go back to Dan, who, you know, I don't know why he didn't think of this before, but he calls the number that texts him that night or at prom. And the ringer leads him to the hallway where he shot Keith. And Lucas walks around the corner and Dan immediately thinks that it's Lucas that's been sending in the text messages and accuses him of, you know, is this your phone? What are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. And Lucas is like, that's not my phone. And Lucas admits that he feels like Keith is trying to tell him something about what happened that day. And Dan immediately goes off and berates him for going down this road again and says, you weren't going to talk about this anymore. And you need to just open your eyes and accept it. And he walks off. Him saying, open your eyes, triggers Lucas's memory of when Keith kept saying, open your eyes, Luke, open your eyes. And
Luke's like, what?
Huh? Yes. Yes. And he almost opens his eyes just a little bit more.
He cracks him open from a full brood to a
half brood.
Yeah,
half brood. Yeah. But he unlocks the memory that he had of whenever he was carrying Peyton out of the school and Keith is in front of him while Jimmy's, you know, got the gun pulled on them. And Lucas sees or remembers seeing above Jimmy's hand and the gun, there was a person in a classroom looking out a window through the blinds at what happened that day.
Yep.
And it's a girl. Mm-hmm. And we recognize that girl.
I did not, but sure, we recognize. I know. Absolutely
okay.
not.
Okay. So then we go to Brooke and Peyton, who walk into prom holding each other as they enter in their bloody ripped up prom dresses.
Couldn't bother changing. Nope, no problem.
Nope. Because they had to get here in time for this, because then Bevan announces who prom queen is, and it is Brooke Davis, of course, and everyone starts cheering and applauding until the spotlight gets on Brooke and Peyton, and everyone turns to see them in their bloody prom dresses, and everyone immediately stops cheering. As this happens, we see the same girl who was in Lucas's memory pass Dan and give him the death glare. And it's at that moment where we remember who that is, because it's the same girl who was in the tutor center that day.
Mm-hmm.
And we end with Lucas smiling as he realizes there is someone else who knows what happened that day with Keith. And the episode ends.
Yeah. Yep.
What did we think, kids?
It was a lot.
There's a lot this episode.
I will say I did not love the way this episode was edited.
No, the pacing of this episode sucks.
Yeah, the pacing of the episode was really awful because, like, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but the going back and forth between all the cutesy stuff and then all the stuff with, you know, Derek and Brooke and Peyton was like, it was jarring to like the point of not being effective. You know,
I feel like it diminishes what Nathan and Haley just did this episode, which was very sweet and very cute and very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And even like the Mouth Rachel stuff seems very much like a weird added on tag stuff that makes zero sense whatsoever. The entire time they're together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just it was weird. I I'm glad we, you know, we obviously we didn't get a full 40 minutes of Derek being awful.
Yeah.
But I would have preferred if like they showed us what everyone else was doing and then gone back to Peyton.
Yeah, or they did a thing of like, this is what everyone else is doing in the first half of the episode, and then it goes back and says 3 hours ago, bam, we start back up with Peyton again.
Or even they did one of those like end of you know how sometimes they'll start episodes with like how a story ends.
Uh-huh.
Like if they showed Brooke and Peyton, or even just Peyton in her bloody prom dress, like standing.
See,
you know,
they couldn't do that though, because the teasers that we had for 2 fucking months between episodes of Beauty and the Geek was that Peyton was gonna die.
Yeah,
literally, they threatened us every fucking week with a new teaser of, oh, he's got Peyton, she's tied up in a chair, he's got a knife, she's gonna die.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but after no 2 months of that, after 2 months of that, though, wouldn't it have been, I don't know, maybe no, it's just my anxious ass, like, no, would have really liked some reassurance at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, they weren't going to give us that. They weren't going to give us that. They were teasing that thing the entire time that Brooke and that Peyton specifically was going to die.
That her life was on the line.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Something like that where like they flat, you know, like Caitlin said, like they flash back like to something, or had more clever cut points, found ways to like zoom in on a couple slow dancing and then we pull back out to Derek trying to force Peyton to dance, you know, something. The show does that a lot where they have those clever cuts, the clever you know, transitions, but they just didn't use any of that.
No,
this episode. I don't know.
Yeah,
there was no tact this episode.
No, it was like the editors were just as manic as Derek. Just like,
yeah,
that wasn't 100% Peyton.
How disappointing!
That was so disappointing,
Lucas.
Wow.
So really, this episode ended up not, it seems to me, Jesse, that this episode ended up not being as scary for you as we thought it was going to be.
It was the lead up to it was worse than the actual episode.
So do you want us to stop warning you about stuff like that?
Absolutely not. Please don't.
Okay. no,
I just have a weird, morbid sense of humor coping mechanism for things that make me anxious. So I was able to find the humor in a stabbed stalker laying in the corner of this episode. No, I'm glad that Peyton got her catharsis a little bit. It was very nice to see Peyton and Brooke working together to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm like looking for the bright side of everything.
Yeah, because I think what was important about bringing Derek back was it got Peyton and Brooke back together.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that's my favorite. The only thing I really like about this episode, besides the Nathan Haley stuff, and dude, it's prom, is the fact that the episode before the last 3 seconds when Derek shows up, you think the biggest thing that's going to happen is the fact that Brooke and Peyton are no longer even remotely going to try to be friends and that they are bitter enemies now. And for someone who has not seen what's going on, you probably think, oh, great, now they're just not even going to work it out. It's going to be awful the rest of the season, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
This wipes that slate clean because you see at the very end, they're friends again. They're back.
Mm-hmm. We love trauma bonding.
Trauma bonding is what, you know, exactly. Then, so that's the one good thing I think that comes out of all of this.
Yeah.
That and Glenda's prom dress is what I'm going to say were my two highlights of this episode.
Yep. And Luke opened his eyes.
Luke opened his eyes. We see Abby.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else we want to add about this very interesting episode before we wrap it up?
Yeah. So when TV shows and movies have live bands playing at proms, it really weirds me out and I don't like it.
Fun fact, they won a contest to be in that episode. It was a band called, let me look it up here.
It's a very well-known band.
Yeah, because I knew the song that they were singing.
Oh, I was being sarcastic.
Oh, I knew the song they were singing.
The band playing at the Tree Hill High Prom is Within Reason. They won the One Tree Hill and Singular Wireless Rock the Prom contest.
Ooh. Gross. I hate that.
So we're, as we go into next week, getting strictly into PR stunts to keep this show alive, basically, which we'll talk more about.
Yes, we will talk more about, because next episode, fun fact, has a huge PR stunt for it that we will talk in depth.
Yes.
Next episode.
We will. Great.
Stay tuned for that one next week, kids.
I have thoughts and feelings. Here we go.
Anyway, anything else we want to add before we wrap this one up and finally put the 16th episode of a season, you know, to bed again?
Put the 16th episode trauma to bed. Let's move on.
Okay, cool.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us out in the long run, and we appreciate all the support you give us as we chug along this show. As always, follow us on social media. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. If you want to ask us a question, have a comment or a concern about anything, drop us a DM on the Instagram. That's where we live most often. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another wonderful, fun-filled adventure of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dude, it's prom.
The whole episode can be summed up into, dude, it's prom.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. Okay, and we're done.